The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. The final hour has arrived. It's been quite an afternoon here with Candace Parker a couple hours ago talking about Pat Summitt, her coach, one of the legendary players in college women's college basketball history, and then Chris Kirk, the Georgia golfer, who won his card with a birdie Sunday, and he had to have it to keep his card after battling alcoholism and telling us the story. We will continue with your calls at 855-242-7285. We'll also check in on the status of the Kentucky basketball program as it is off to its worst start in modern time. That coming up in a few minutes. And Stuart is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you. I think it's a little early for the Tennessee fans to jump off the bridge. Yeah, I'm just hoping the NCAA doesn't really come down too hard on the school and the players. The players had nothing to do with it, but there's some great coaches out there. You got this kid at Coastal Carolina, Chadwell, and Napier, and tons of pro coaches that are, you know, they're looking for work. So I think there's a lot of great coaches out there. They just need to get an AD in there and sort through the mess. And I just hope they don't penalize the kids that are there severely.
Yeah, you always hate to see that because ultimately they did not have anything to do with it, but that's just the way the NCAA structure is, that the innocent parties end up paying the piper. Thanks for the call. Sandman is in Columbia, South Carolina. Hello. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul, what's going on? Hey, I just wanted to talk about the whole cheating scandal. You know, I think all these schools are cheating somehow. I know Bama, they like to store their money in the Bryant Bank, and I know that's what they do. It's just like Clemson stores their money, and they get their money from New Spring Church. So, I mean, there's all kinds of conspiracies out there, but that's just the thing. Alabama's good at cheating. That's what they do.
Rick is in Bristol, Tennessee, and you are next up. Hey, Rick, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing this evening?
We're doing okay. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, let's talk about the Tennessee coaching situation a little bit. I know that everybody in the world has been mentioned for a coach, but, you know, everybody needs to take a deep breath, get an AD in there, and, you know, there's been a lot of conversation around NFL coaches. I don't think that's the answer. NFL coaches don't, you know, saving's an exception, but that's not where we need to be. But at the end of the day, Paul, does Jim Haslam have to sign off on all this like he usually does every coach? Is that where the problem lies as far as getting? I mean, if we get a great coach, everybody needs to understand it's going to take 2 years from now. We're not going to be, you know, 12-0. It's going to take some time. And whoever we get, we need to leave them alone and let them fix the program. I'm just wondering if the fan base and the administration will allow that.
I hope they will. William is up next in East Tennessee. William, good evening to you.
Hello. Hello, Paul.
Good evening, William.
You know, Paul, my take on the press conference is a little bit different than the gentleman from the Tennesseans' take. You know, a couple weeks ago, everybody was making a big deal out of the university hiring Michael Glazer and his partner from Kansas City. Well, you know, from what I've read about Michael Glazer and from what you've said about him, you know, he's no goose. I mean, he's a pretty experienced guy in this arena. And everything that Dondé Plowman said, I'm sure, was either written by him or edited by him. And I'm sure that he's got an end game in mind. But let's take it one level up. You know, Randy Boyd, the president, is an accomplished businessman. He's not an academician. He's a businessman. His right-hand man, I believe chief of staff, is the former general counsel of the university. So you've got a business input there about this whole strategy. I started thinking yesterday about the North Carolina situation. Now, the North Carolina situation was different than Tennessee's. It was academic fraud that went on for at least 12 or 14 years, and it involved numerous sports and numerous coaches and numerous players. And so it was really an attack on the institution itself, more like a blood disease versus a tumor. I believe that Tennessee sees this as a tumor that needed to be excised. Now, another way to look at this is that, do you want an AD to come in and not know what he or she is facing with the NCAA? And if your legal strategy is to obfuscate and take the North Carolina approach, I'm not sure that many ADs would want to take that on, because they're covering for mistakes of their predecessors. And the same thing with a head coach. Because the one thing that's evident is any head coach that comes in is going to have a free pass for the time that he is the head coach during any sanctions by the NCAA. And what Tennessee needs right now is time.
Well, let me address Mike Glazier for a second. He's a former NCAA enforcement officer. He understands the nuances. He and Mike Slive, the former SEC commissioner, created the first boutique law firm in the country that represented schools against the NCAA. I say all this, he's the person that conducted the investigation. I say all this, William, because there's a pretty good chance, after looking at the evidence that has been ascertained, he may have told the chancellor and the president, you're not getting out of this. And the reason I say that is that if somebody is corroborating the evidence, this isn't just some anonymous source. If you have someone inside saying, this happened, here's the evidence, he may have just said, you have no chance, so you have nothing to gain to go out there. You have nothing to lose to go out there and just tell the truth. So, I mean, you're a lawyer. Well, you understand what I'm saying.
Paul, I agree with you 100%. You are spot on. I mean, you don't fall on your sword and plead guilty if the case against you is really weak.
Yeah, I thought she used I'm trying to remember the exact verbiage, but I don't know if she said voluminous or many. I mean, whether they're serious or not in the parlance of everyday SEC recruiting, there's a stack of those allegations that goes to the top of Ayers Hall. So I think that's what probably sent her over the edge.
And her characterization is her characterization. I don't know that an NCAA enforcement officer will certainly, have the same characterization dealing in this arena. But they've got good lawyers who are lawyers in this area, not just their general corporate or general counsel or outside counsel, and they have an end game. And I really think that their end game supports the notion of bringing in. Now, if Fulmer was still there, I wouldn't say this, but it supports the notion of bringing in a quality athletic director with integrity who can start righting this ship.
Yeah, I am. I saw in the Knoxville News Sentinel today, Blake Topmeyer reported that the separation agreement with Fulmer, who of course retired, as we both know, and I think that's the most interesting part of this. Jeremy Pruitt was getting fired. You and I have known that for a month. But the question was, what would happen to Philip Fulmer? And to get him out of there is an interesting sign and indicator, William, that the school had to have a clean break. They could not let the athletic director who was involved.
What was his separation agreement? Because I think I raised this with you yesterday, because if he retired, he shouldn't recover anything under his contract.
Well, let me dig it up for a second here.
Because I didn't see it today.
Yeah, it just came out. This is according to Topmeyer. He said that he will receive more than $1 million in separation payments throughout the next 3 years. What does that sound like to you?
Well, it sounds like to me they fought him out on his contract, and that does aggravate me badly, because if he retired, he should, you know, walk away with his retirement. And, you know, if they're paying him, it's just another example of paying somebody like they did with Butch Jones.
Okay, so Randy Boyd gave an interview to the New Sentinel, and he said that in defending Fulmer, which, by the way, this is not a surprise, that Fulmer, he said he was so far removed from these infractions that it wouldn't have been reasonable to expect him to know about these infractions. Now, he has, obviously, in his contract, if he is cognizant of any allegations, that he could be fired for cause. So I think this is a gift to Philip Fulmer, but anyone who thinks he retired on his own volition, I would be more than happy to try to do some business with you as soon as the show is over.
Well, and that, of course, that goes to the point I made yesterday, which was that does Jeremy Pruitt have anything, any leverage over Philip Fulmer? Obviously, Randy Boyd thinks he does not.
Yeah, no, that is exactly right. And, of course, I didn't realize Fulmer had gotten a contract extension, too. You probably realized that. But
I remembered it, but I never, you know, I always thought Fulmer came back to be the savior on an interim basis. I didn't know he came back to get a long-term contract.
William, as a man who reads a lot and understands history, have you ever known anyone to walk into a power base that he was denied earlier that would easily walk away?
Well, no, sadly, no. And unfortunately, you know, I guess we're in a position of cleaning slate, and you know, if Jeremy Pruitt wants to litigate, we'll litigate. Or tennis, but the university will litigate, and just have to pick up the pieces. And you know, again, the new coach is going to have hopefully know what he's getting into, and hopefully be prepared with and given the resources and the time.
I would love, and so would you. I would love to represent the new coach, because that will be one of the most one-way contracts ever.
It might be 10 years. Who knows?
Oh no, I mean, I've seen that before. Where William, you have to do that. Thanks for the call. You have absolutely no choice. You have to give that guy a one-way deal, or you're not going to get anybody of high quality. We are up against a break. We'll pause here for just a moment. More phone calls in a couple of minutes. We'll also look in on the Kentucky Wildcats. What is going on with them? Mike Morgan about to do their game on the SEC Network. Joining us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Call Feinbaum now. 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-PAUL. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
We welcome you back. College basketball is alive and kicking, and tonight Kentucky travels to Georgia, and Auburn takes on Arkansas. And on the call for the first game following us immediately is Mike Morgan. Always great to have Mike on the program. And Mike, college basketball has been interesting this year. Some teams have played normal. Some, as we have heard and you have described, are been very inconsistent. I think I heard the broadcast of the South Carolina game the other night. What has it been like broadcasting this year in a year unlike any other year?
It's been strange, Paul, and thanks for having me on. I think two of the best stories in this league are also two of the biggest stories in the country, but one is good and one is not so good. The good is Alabama. In fact, the great is Alabama. 7-0 in the SEC. That hire of Nate Oates was so under the radar. He came from Buffalo. He had no ties to the state, to the league. He's an exceptional basketball coach who has quickly turned that program around in a huge, huge way. That's the great story. The flip side is whenever Kentucky's having a bad year, it's national news, and this is a historically bad year. So it's become almost epidemic proportions around the SEC and around the country. But here's what I would say about the SEC today, Paul, compared to what it would have been 10 years ago. 10 years ago, the SEC depended on Kentucky and sometimes Florida to have credibility as a good conference in basketball. If they weren't good, neither was the league. You've got six teams right now that have a really good inside track at the NCAA tournament, and Kentucky's not one of them. So the league has grown. The league has gotten much, much better. But right now, they're not being led by Big Blue Nation.
Let me start with Alabama for a second, because they've gone and beaten some really good teams on the road, including Tennessee, which just got destroyed last night in Gainesville. What makes this Alabama team so good?
You know, I had a couple of Nate Oates's. We do Champ Week on ESPN, where we do kind of the mid-majors, and it's, you know, whoever wins that goes to the tournament, the losers don't. So I had Nate Oates twice when Buffalo won the MAC and went to the NCAA tournament. And neither year did I think they had the best team. But he was an exceptional coach with a unique system that provides a lot of open looks from three and a lot of open looks on driving layups. And that's what they're doing to everybody in this league. I mean, everybody is trying to scout them. They don't have a lottery pick on their team. I don't think they have a first-round draft pick on their team. But they got a lot of good players who have bought in, and that combined with an exceptional system and coaching staff has made them one of the most unstoppable forces in college basketball. I mean, you watch the best of the best. They're not just picking on the lesser teams in this league. They're beating everybody, and in some cases, they're just beating the doors off them. That's all Nate Oates. A lot of these players were there a few years ago. A lot of the new players, again, not McDonald's All-Americans, but within that system and within the confines of what he's teaching in Tuscaloosa, that's an elite program right now. And honestly, if Nate Oates stays, I don't think this is a one-and-done type year. I think Alabama is going to be good for a while.
I hope he stays. He just got there. Mike, what about Tennessee? The expectations were sky high. They look great. They've had a couple of bumps, including last night, which was just an absolute disembowelment by the Gators, who have been up and down so far this year.
I have no explanation for what happened last night, Paul. Florida's down three starters. Tennessee's playing very well. Florida's season has been uneven. At times, they look really good. At times, a little bit disappointing. And in that game, I mean, they controlled it from the opening 5 minutes on. Everybody's going to have that game in college basketball where shots don't fall, turnovers are an epidemic, and nothing goes right. That was Tennessee's. That was their mulligan. I don't expect them to play that poorly the rest of the year. I still think Rick Barnes is an exceptional coach. The program is in great shape, and that is a very good team. You got two five-star kids coming off the bench. You've got veterans in the starting lineup. It's not a team that anybody wants to face in the NCAA tournament, but they had an off night. But Tennessee will be back.
Yeah, I would say they did have an off night. Well, let's get to the subject du jour, and that is the University of Kentucky. What's wrong?
Well, here's where I would start. I'm like you and all your listeners. I love college football, right? So let me give a college football analogy and the difference between the two sports. You have talked, I love your show. I watch it all the time. A common conversation has been, we have no diversity of who's going to the playoff in college football, right? We're talking about the same four or five teams every year. Well, it's not a coincidence. Those are the same teams that dominate recruiting, right? They get all the five stars. They're well coached, but they've got the top talent, and they wind up in the playoff every year. And college basketball, John Calipari is going to get as many blue chip five-star recruits as anybody in America. So is Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. So is North Carolina. Guess what? They're all out of the top 25 for the first time since 1961. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that with the one and done, which doesn't exist in football. So you've got those kids for at least 3 years. In basketball, you're constantly turning over your roster. And that equals the playing field. It levels it because Kentucky is, they've been flipping this year in, year out. And sometimes they flip it and they bring in a whole new crop of five stars and it works. And sometimes, like this year, it doesn't. Not all five stars are built the same. This is a team that flat out does not shoot well. They don't shoot well from the field. They don't shoot well from three. They don't shoot well from the free throw line. And their top recruit, their most celebrated recruit, BJ Boston, hasn't found himself yet. He does not playing with confidence yet, has not found himself into a flow or into a rhythm yet. So there's not a ton of things that Kentucky has done consistently well. And yet, you just have that feeling if the light goes on, they could still win a lot of games. But it hasn't gone on yet. They had a nice little run of three straight wins in conference play, and then boom, humbled again, two straight losses. You lose tonight at Georgia, and I'm here to tell you, your margin of error is paper thin at that point if you're going to get back to the NCAA tournament. So they have to figure out things. They have to find a better way of scoring the basketball. As Cal was telling us today, when they score 70 points, they're almost unbeatable. But they have struggled to get to 70 points in a college basketball game where teams like Alabama and LSU are scoring 80 or 90 a night. So that is something they just have to get better at. And so far, it just has not been clicking at all on offense.
Taking the tournament out of the equation, what is their path to get to the NCAA tournament?
I mean, honestly, I think you can only lose a couple of more conference games and you've got to get into the SEC tournament and have a little bit of success there. Again, if you don't do that, and nobody wants to hear NIT in Lexington, it's just a different expectation over there. They want to get into the tournament, and they, for the life of them, they will not understand why they didn't get there if it doesn't happen. Because it almost happens every year. Cal's only missed it one time, and that was after the national championship year where they lost everybody. But again, they only have a chance to lose, in my estimation, two or three more conference games, tops. And then you also have to do some damage in Nashville for the SEC basketball tournament. If you don't do that, it's going to be a very difficult road to get there. And at that point, you know, everybody's going to circle this year as a disappointment in Kentucky.
I would say that would be an understatement. Mike, thank you. We'll be watching tonight and see what happens as the Cats take on the Dogs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
Of all the unexpected stories that I thought we would be talking about in 2021, Kentucky in a must-win game on January 20th at Georgia was not one of them. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back for the final 30 minutes, and Mitch is up next. Before we get to Mitch, let me just quickly read this tweet here. Two of Tennessee's top players are in the portal, and that's not all. There is a conversation that one of their top wide receivers, and running backs, and another key player, the leading tackler, top linebacker, running back, and offensive lineman all in the portal. There you go. This is not the same team it was a month ago, and it wasn't a very good team then. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Mitch, go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
First off, I want to thank you for that Candace Parker interview. I believe I shared with you that Pat Summitt was one of the five people I wish I could have met in my lifetime.
Yeah, I remember that. And I will tell you what, Mitch, you missed out. She was one of the most unique people ever.
And I do have to tell you, you have bumped someone out of that five, but I can't tell you who. But I will say Peyton is still in there.
Okay. So hold on. Let me make sure so the five was Peyton, Pat Summitt. Who else?
You're trying to get too much nosy now. But you're number three now. You're number three, and I want to meet Dabo before he leaves Clemson. And my fifth person is not in sports at all. It's just somebody that really meant a lot to me.
Okay.
Not as far as meeting them, but they helped in a way that helped my childhood.
Well,
and I never got to meet him.
Mitch, you know, what you just raised there is something I want to think about. It would be a fun show one day because we've all met people we never thought we would, and we'd like to meet others who I had somebody ask me once, I couldn't believe they asked me this. They said, do you know Oprah Winfrey? I said, no, I don't. And the lady said, well, gosh, I've always wanted to meet her. I said, well, okay, I'm not sure I know anyone who knows Oprah Winfrey, but it was. But it is fascinating about those who we do want to meet.
The way I base my top five is what they've meant to me, what they've meant to society. And I don't want to meet just anybody. I want to meet people who have proved excellence.
Well, and I appreciate that, and it's a great thing to think about because and you always hear this cliche that sometimes you meet your heroes or those you've always wanted, and you're disappointed. And you know what that tells people, though? To always treat people the same, because you never know.
You never know.
I had that happen to me many years ago. And I was in the middle of doing a television thing, and a guy ran after me, Mitch. He said, can I take a picture? And I said, can you just wait here a minute? I've got to run. And I ran over and did the television thing, and I came back, and he wasn't there. And it still haunts me to this day. Do you know how quickly you could have taken a picture with this guy? It would have taken me about 10 seconds. And instead, I spent 15 seconds telling him I didn't have time.
Well, you're a gracious person, and the fact that you still regret that means a lot about your character. I want to speak of why I think the Tennessee situation is worse than we realize. One is legality and the other is reading between the lines. If I get terminated 3 months after I received a raise and basically by receiving a raise, in a contract extension, you're getting a top evaluation of your performance. and then I get terminated, the company that terminates me better have a lot of documentation to prove why they, in 3 months, decided I wasn't worth that high praise. And secondly, reading between the lines, I think Phil Fulmer let the next coach know what's ahead of him. He says whoever it is needs to be ready to dedicate 10 years to the program. The first 5 are probably going to be in probation and
Mitch,
whatever scandal.
And based on what we've seen already tonight with the mass exodus, this program is in big, big trouble. And I know fans don't want to hear that, but that's the reality.
And I can say that with no indignity because right. I had to live through the – I loved Danny Ford. I met him. I told you I went to his camp and everything. But Danny Ford brought scandal to Clemson.
He sure did.
So I know what it's like. But I think this is going to be a magnitude that I don't think we've seen since SMU.
Well –
Mitch,
I've questioned the chancellor, but after talking to our friend a minute ago, William, I answered my own doubts in the conversation. She knows there's evidence. That's why she said what she did.
But let me ask, and I know I'm get off, but let me ask you one quick question. I guess this speaks once again to the character of Nick Saban. How is he able to keep these shortcomings in his coaches from coming out while they're in his program? And then when they go to a program that they're developing of their own.
Well, but Mitch, there's a difference. Jeremy Pruitt was an assistant coach. He had very little authority in Nick Saban's program. He was on his own.
No, but the way
and that's how he got
I'm
in trouble.
Talking about the way he talks to people and the way he puts people down.
Well,
those are character flaws that do not just develop.
You talking about Saban or Pruitt?
Pruitt.
Well, it's one thing to hear the head coach talk in a certain way and think that you have the right to do that. Listen, I can only base what I'm telling you on what I've been told. I know Pruitt pretty well, and he's always been a hothead. And it caught up to him. I really believed he had a chance to be successful, but he would not listen, Mitch. He would not listen to advice. He thought he knew everything. In the end, he'd come very close to torching his career. Thank you for the call. Barbara is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Barbara, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for having the interview with Candace Parker about Pat Summitt, and what I got out of that was Pat Summitt was the kind of teacher that all parents want their children to have, and she did this several ways with all the girls that she mentored in her lifetime, and I thank you so much.
Well, Barbara,
one of my favorites.
Thank you. I have interviewed her before, but I will tell you this: we were all blown away by her interview tonight. It was incredibly special. The raw emotion that she displayed, her poignancy in talking about Pat moved everyone. Thank you for saying that. You be well, and we will take a short break. We still have a couple of minutes remaining here on a Wednesday night, a momentous day everywhere, and we're coming right back. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.